Our scripture this morning is Ephesians chapter 1, verses 3 through 14. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. Just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him in love. He predestined us to adoption as sons through Jesus Christ to himself, according to the kind intention of his will, to the praise of his glory of his grace, which he freely bestowed on us in the beloved. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses according to the riches of his grace, which he lavished upon us in all wisdom and insight. He made known to us the mystery of his will, according to his kind intention, which he proposed in him, with a view to an administration suitable to the fullness of the times, that is, the summing up of all things in Christ, things in the heavens and things upon the earth in him. Also, we have obtained an inheritance, having been predestined according to his purpose, who works all things after the counsel of his will, to the end that we who are the first to hope in Christ should be to the praise of his glory. In him, you also, after listening to the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation, having also believed, you were sealed in him with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is given as a pledge in our inheritance with a view to the redemption of God's own possession to the peace of his glory. Well, the lesson today is just to tell you, you've been predestined. Now, before everybody gets all worked up over that word, I'll go back a minute, and it's been misunderstood. We can thank John Calvin for that, going way back in the Pilgrims and the Puritans, but that's a different story. The word predestination is, in its description, appears 22 times in the Bible in 10 different books. 9 of them are in the New Testament, and it also appears in Isaiah, which of all the books in the Old Testament are the one, to me, that's the most prophetic concerning our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Now, predestination has gotten a bad rep because it has been misinterpreted. When you go back and look at the settlement of English North America, we, of course, think first of the Pilgrims who came on the Mayflower in 1620, founded a little colony in Plymouth. 10 years later, there's a great Puritan migration and ultimately settle what comes to be the city of Boston. These people were deeply religious. The Pilgrims had gotten so upset over the remaining Catholicism, as they saw it, rampant in the Church of England, that they left. They went to Holland and were accepted and were doing fine, but they really wanted to be by themselves because they were English. And so they came, and they embraced the tenets of John Calvin. And a key tenet of that was this idea of predestination. Now, they meant well, but they misunderstood it. They saw predestination as an exclusive term, whereas it's crystal clear when you read it in the Bible, it's inclusive. Now, they believed in an orderly society. They were good neighbors. They wanted to live as Christ would have them live, and But they were very judgmental. Obviously, we wouldn't know anything about that. And as they looked around, it became obvious over time that in their sight, there were a few ne'er-do-wells. And this really bothered them. And so they started giving this idea of predestination a little thought, and they came up with the idea that God had made a choice before people were born whether they were going to be saved or not. That explained to them how, looking around, they could see some that in their mind clearly had not been saved, had not been redeemed, and that explained it. Well, God just chose for them to go to hell. Now, to be a stalwart member of that community, you had to be male. You had to be a member of the church. And the way you became a member was all the deacons and the elders gathered around and they decided whether you were going to be a member or not. And that was the foremost goal of people living in that culture. So if you were not admitted to the church, you couldn't buy property, you couldn't vote, you were a total outcast. And some that fell into that camp moved out of that colony and founded another one that the Pilgrims and the Puritans called the Sewer of New England, his little colony of Rhode Island, where, you know, they would accept all kinds of people. So that, unfortunately, for many of us, is kind of hung on there, that the idea of predestination is an exclusive term. And the God that we know, the Savior that we follow, it's clear to me, accepts and offers everybody the gift of salvation through God's grace. The founder of our church, John Wesley, and his followers really had the right idea. If you've read much about John Wesley, he viewed grace in three different categories. He called prevenient grace, justifying grace, and sanctifying grace. And his idea of prevenient grace was this idea that God predestined every single person to have the opportunity to be saved. Now, God also gave us all free will and left it up to us, just as Harper was reminding all of us, we make choices, good, bad, and indifferent. And it boggles my mind, but we all know some people that choose not to accept God's grace and the gift of salvation. An analogy that I like to use in this whole idea of predestination, of prevenient grace, is each person has a beautifully wrapped Christmas present. Your name is on it. That's put under your tree the second you're born. And it sits there. It's yours. But if you never open it, inside that is grace, is salvation through believing in Jesus Christ. But if you leave it unopened, you don't get it. You open it and it's yours. That's what we mean by predestination. God wanted every human being to have the opportunity to choose salvation, to choose Christ. And to me as a Christian, it's important to keep that in mind. No, God didn't decide, okay, you're going to be saved and you're going to hell. He wants everybody to be saved. So predestination is the opportunity that God presented before any of us were born to accept his gift of salvation through Christ. So that's the message. Salvation is by faith alone. It's not what we do. It's not whether we fit in with the rest of the crowd. It's not that we toe the line like the blessed Puritans wanted everybody to do. You heard the word puritanical? That comes from the Puritans. They were puritanical. They checked up on you. Well, when you leave today, that's the message. Each one of you was predestined to have the choice to accept God's gift of grace through Jesus Christ or just to leave your present unopened. And our prayer is that everybody will open their present and it'll make a difference. Our relationship with Jesus Christ is not only a daily experience, but it's eternal. It's the eternity that we're all here for. If there wasn't a heaven, if there wasn't salvation, why would we bother to go to church? Why would we proclaim being Christian? Nothing in it. You know, it's the end state, it's the eternal state that is important. We should never take for granted God's acceptance of us or our relationship with us. As Harper pointed out, we're all going to make mistakes. We may have to pull a stick, get on a bad color, have to go to timeout. But God loves us. We've heard it a million times. God hates the sin, but he loves the sinner, and that's so true. Everything that God does for us is based on who and what he is, not what who we are. Because we'll fall short every time. Christ is the central figure of the ages and should be in our lives. We must always live in a manner worthy of our position as God's children and heirs, because whether you know it or not, you're witnessing all the time. My brother-in-law, Glenn Oakes, said he struggled with being a witness. Good mentor to him said, well, Glenn, you witness all the time. Every once in a while, you may even say something. And that's so true. People know that we profess to be Christians. And if we go around acting like heathens, we're hypocrites. That doesn't mean we're not going to mess up. We ought to do our best. Finally, God's gift of the Holy Spirit is just one of the many provisions he gives to us. And with that, John Price,